Hello and welcome to Radio Freeman. Well, I've got a lot of things on my mind today. It's been quite the interesting morning and afternoon. Now what I'm witnessing here, well, first we see Alex Jones being taken away in 911. He's bantered by Geraldo, Mr. Jerry Rivers. And, you know, here's Geraldo saying, whoa, they must have caught the leader of that anarchist group. Anarchist group. What? Yeah, these are people standing up, finally standing up. And here's this guy, you know, Mr. Mustache saying, oh, yeah, these are anarchists here. They're trying to bring down a bunch of commies. Says they're the ugliest group of protesters he's ever seen. And alludes to them having homosexual bathroom sex or some sort. Yeah. Well, here's Geraldo reporting on skimpy outfits and airliners. Frustrating. And now, to everyone's credit, a whole group of people, of course, surrounded the New York Police Department screaming, "Let Alex Jones go! Let Alex Jones go!" And they did. And I want to see more of that. I sure hope you guys are out there for me when they come to take me. Because, as we witness, here comes Terry Milton. Now, many of you don't know Terry, because typically he's behind the camera. He's the one videotaping Alex and many other events. But he's a friend of mine. I've known him for a few years now. And actually, he helped me to produce the first DVD. And he's out in New York as well, and goes to visit his friends who are friends of Edna Lane Brown, who you might know of about the IRS fight going on at their house, where they are surrounded by feds, and there's no getting into Edna Lane's house. And they are in a standoff, ready to die. You know, these are a nice American couple that just know that it's illegal to have to pay income tax. I mean, there's no law saying you have to pay income tax, and they're standing up for that. And yet they're about to be riddled with bullets. And so here is Terry Milton hanging out with a friend of Edna Lane's, who both the Terry and this other fellow have been to the Brown's place. Next thing you know, feds are at their door. Terry gets arrested, gets intimidated, gets told if he speaks about any of this, he'll be butt raped by the federal marshal that was intimidating him. Then, at University of Central Florida, there's a kid gets up, he's a bit informed, and Senator John Kerry's speaking there. And he asks John Kerry, well, you know, why did you give up the election when you know that you won, when everything showed that you won, and that it was shown that the black box voting was a fraud? And, by the way, are you a member of the Skull and Bones? And at that point, the police grabbed the kid from the podium at the microphone from where he was standing and hauled him out of the building to the cheers of the audience. This young man was taken outside and put down on the ground, screaming, "Help! Help! I haven't done anything. These men are taking me away." And all the bystanders stand by. He starts screaming, "No, don't tase me! Don't tase me! I'm not doing anything!" And they start to tase him, and you can hear his screams of pain. Well, he's got it going, "Ow! Ow! Ow! Ow!" Which is a little humorous. But what isn't humorous is the fact that everyone just sat there idly by because they accept this authority. They accept the fact that these gentlemen, if I can use that term loosely, in uniform, will come forth and just grab citizens or, you know, other human beings from whatever situation that might be expressing some truth, and just haul them off, and all the people around them, like Geraldo, like the audience at the University of Central Florida. And, well, Terry didn't have a group with him, so there wasn't anyone. But, yeah, here they all just stand, either cheering or doing nothing. Now, I have read 1984, and this is one of the most depressing books I have ever read. And I've read some pretty crappy stuff. But just the thoughts inside of there, and the real depressing part, and I'm going to give away the ending here, so if you haven't read 1984, then you might want to hold your ears for a second, but it won't hurt anything to know this. But here is Winston being confronted by O'Brien, the officer. Winston is the average Joe Blow, and O'Brien is one of these jackbooted thugs. So O'Brien begins to intimidate Winston. He wants him to think and double think. He wants him to have two minds. And the real depressing part is that after, well, having a rat in a cage strapped to his face, or then begging to have that rat given to his true love and have it rip her face off instead of his, he gives in and sinks into doublethink and begins to serve Big Brother. Now, is that what we're going to do? Now, my question to everyone, as always, is when is it time to act? Everybody I'm around at this moment, you know, outside of my collective hive mind group, or I guess that's not really the right way to say it, but my thinking friends, my friends in the know, other than them, I am surrounded by a number of people that just don't even have a clue as to what's about to come. And, you know, so I sit here and I listen to them speak about, oh, going to the next concert, or, you know, how difficult their day at work was, and just how much they have to... I offered a freedom to fascism to one of them because they had yet to realize that the IRS is a total sham. And they, oh, no, I don't want to see that. Yeah, keep your head in the hole until it comes to you. So it is quite apparent that we are going to sit back and wait until the boots are in our faces. This is just obvious that nobody's going to... And really, what I see is that no one really knows, well, what do we do? Here we have these jackbooted thugs, and, well, they will come and take me away. I can see that. They took Alex away, didn't they? They took Terry away. They took away that poor kid at the University of Central Florida asking about Skull and Bones. I don't want to be taken away. Well, all I got to say is you're not going to be taken away yet. And there's the old saying that first they came for the Jews, and no one stood for them. Then they came for the others, no one stood for them. Till they finally came for me, and there was no one left to stand for me. That's where we're at. And by now it should be coming apparently clear that the authority is not a moral authority. And I see so many people attaching spiritual significance to this authority. I see as people feel it's their God duty, their spiritual duty to pay this government. It's their spiritual duty to pay for things that have been given to them. I'm thinking of a lady that went into the Alex Jones movie for free, granted access by the doorman, and then just felt such guilt for having this freedom that she came back out later and attempted to pay, and they wouldn't take her money. I wonder if she's going to hell. Damn cashier. Send her to hell. This is the type of thinking that I'm talking about. This morality, the spiritual morality that's been attached to the finances and to the patriotism. world. This is not correct. Because if you truly were a spiritual being and you truly were seeking to be Christ on earth, if you were trying to emulate this Messiah, then you wouldn't be supporting this government. There's just no way. And once we look at all the evils they have done and all the... Oh, it's just ridiculous. I don't understand, but what I do see is that people don't know what to do, and so we're caught up in the system, and well, you know, we're beginning to think that we created the zoo that we exist in, and this is just not the case. We are been grown in captivity. So it's hard to see. The escape route is in the mind. The escape route comes with shirking off the zoo. And once the zoo in the mind is escaped, the form will follow the function. And we will be a freer beings. I don't know. I'm frustrated with all of this. I really am. I don't know how to motivate people into action, because once again, the action is not a frontal action. The action is not to go out and attack anyone. You know, we can't go attack Washington, we can't go attack the police department or any of these authority figures. And then there are those that tell us, well, we have to do it through legal means. Well, baha. I mean, there's no authority in there, there's no morals in there as well. So, yeah. There's nothing in the system at this point that is at all working for your benefit. The system itself is inherently evil. I watch in the microcosmic realms as the relationships that men and women have fall along these exact same lines. Well, men and men as well, and women as women in their relationships. That we will sit back and wait until things get so bad between the two people, right? Because people don't want to address things right up front. They have to be angry in order to address these issues. And so what I watch is a man and a woman knowing that their relationship is falling apart, but still just clinging to one another because they don't know what else to do, until they reach the boiling point where somebody finally violently expels themselves from the situation. Now, of course, they could have easily selected earlier on to agree that things weren't going well, it's time to move on, hey, let's have a great time, see you later. I'll be happy to see you the next time I see you. But we don't work that way. We sit back and we wait for the boiling point because we're frightened. And once the fear is replaced by anger, then we can act. And that's where we're at on a macrocosmic scale. Everybody's afraid to act. Everybody's afraid to make an action. I mean, what if? If all the people who agree that this system is screwing up the whole world, that these wars are worthless and they do not serve us, they do not benefit humanity whatsoever, that the educational system doesn't help anyone. Once all the people that know this, the people that accept this, were to just walk away from it all, just stop paying rent, stop paying taxes, stop being involved in this system whatsoever, it would come to a screeching halt. Because there's a lot of us out here that don't want things to be as they are. We simply just don't know how to change them. And the routes that have been given to us for change are a farce. How many of you do think that we have actually ever elected a president? Now, here I hang out with Vote Rescue, and I've been even asked to speak before a Vote Rescue crowd, which I found rather humorous, being that I don't believe we've ever voted. Here's this poor kid asking John Kerry about his Skull and Bones affiliations. And if you look back, the last election was Skull and Bones A, Skull and Bones B, and both of these men are cousins. Yeah, you've been given a choice. There you go. Take your pick. And if you follow the fact that about 90% of the presidents are all related to Charlemagne, you know, they're all the same god blood, or that 51% of our presidents have all belonged to a single fraternity, that they've all been these aristocratic white males, where do you think there's been an election? I don't know. What's this delusion? How is it that they can tell you these things? Oh, yeah, you've elected this man. And you all believe it. There's never been an America, and there's never been a freedom. This is all just hype, propaganda. It's BS. So, you are not represented by your government. Hell, it's not even the same year to your president, right? It's the year 6007 in his world. You're not being represented by your representatives. You go into work and you're subservient to some master. And my God, you're asked to give up your urine. You're asked to give up your brain. You're asked to give up your psychological statements, you know. What is it that allows you to do this? I can't do this. I am not giving anybody my piss nor letting them analyze my brain. And let them analyze this, right? You can listen to me all day long and analyze that. I'll tell you exactly who I am, where I'm coming from, and what I believe. And I will continue to do this. And we have but one life to live, right? In this particular time frame. And we can make a change. We can make a difference in things. If we're willing to step outside of the box, you're gonna die. We're all gonna die. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about this. Maybe in the future we might be able to have some life extension and you might live a little longer, but you're still gonna die. So why not make this time on planet Earth matter? Why not make a move to change things? Why just follow suit? Why are you following this game plan? What is progress giving you? What is it giving to the world? What is it giving to those poor bombed women and children and men in the Middle East? Do you really think that these heroes, these leaders of ours, are working for the benefit of the planet? Now, many of you think that they're working for oil and power, and, well, some of them are. But they have a higher scope than this, and this is shown in their occult rituals. There is more going on planet Earth than simple politics and finances. This is a spiritual battle. But it can't be won by guns. And that's where it's going to go at this point. Because at this point, nobody's willing to change. And it's going to wait until it comes to a head. It's going to wait until it's just in your face. And then you're going to go, I have to do something. Yeah, you have to do something now. Now that there's a jackbooted thug in your face with a weapon pointing at you, but of course at this point you have no weapons, you have no power, you have nothing. Currently you have a little bit of freedom. Now, after the WTO-IMF protest, that's the World Trade Organization and International Monetary Fund, in Seattle, there was a protest against the WTO. and these jackbooted thugs came in. Well, there was a group of cops there the first days that were just your standard kind of pudgy cops. And then the next day, they were all 6 foot and buff and standing there. And agent provocateurs were sent into the crowd, and they went around and they bashed out windows. And the police did nothing about this because this is their excuse to attack. They were attacking the men, women, and children standing in the streets trying to stand up for their rights at this protest. Trying to stop the evil by the only means they knew how. These people were shot with rubber bullets and bean bags and tear gas and concussion grenades. They were chased through neighborhoods, and when the people in the neighborhood stepped out of their houses to see what was going on, they were shot as well. I watched in horror as all of this was going down, and I said, well, they're going to do this, I'm going to stand up as well. And so when the protest moved to Washington, D.C., I jumped in my van and I went. I wanted to see if they would shoot me with a rubber bullet. As we arrived, we were trying to find all the other protesters. 500,000 people gathered there in D.C., but of course you didn't see any of that on the news. They didn't promote this on the news, and this is really what makes protesting worthless. Because if you're not seen or heard, what's the point? To people in D.C., you're just a nuisance. They had 50 streets blocked off, and so people couldn't get to work easily. So now you're just a nuisance, an annoyance to them. And the rest of the world didn't see squat. What they did see, which I went into to a restaurant and was watching the news of the protest that I was at, and what we did see was a bunch of violence. We watched as police officers mowed over kids with their cars and motorcycles and shot tear gas grenades into the crowd. Well, strangely enough, I had been there for a while now, and I had been all over the place, and I hadn't seen a lick of violence. As a matter of fact, there were huge parties in the streets. Because some of the locals were like, hey, we got the streets, let's party. There was a gathering of wonderful people, 500,000 gathering in the center of Washington, D.C. to state that they were against the IMF and the WTO. But no one in the world heard about it. Not unless you were looking in independent sources. Mainstream definitely wasn't telling you. So as we walked down the street trying to find these people, we showed up to find a riot squad, a line blocking off a whole street. We see 1,000 people on the backside, not being corralled by the thugs, not being by the riot squads. 1,000 people on the outside, in between two lines of riot squads were 600 people. Just anyone that happened to be walking down that sidewalk at that moment. Yeah, many of them were the protesters, but this wasn't the protest. They were just walking back to the area where we were all hanging out. 600 people. 10-year-old boys, 70-year-old ladies. I watched them all get zip-tied and hauled away. But that was after being held there in the middle of the street for 6 hours. These little boys and little old ladies, and, well, they told the World Bank members that they could exit, and they were allowed out of the riot squad line. Then they told the press, of course, that they could exit, and they did. I wouldn't have. Then they took these 600 people that were left and started loading them onto school buses. And when they ran out of school buses, they started using city buses. We're talking about 18 buses here that hauled these people away. They took them to some hangar somewhere that smelt horrible of fumes of fuel. And they held them there for another 9 hours. Without bathrooms, without food, without water, zip-tied. And they processed them one at a time. Not really knowing why they had arrested them, they finally decided to charge them with parading without a permit. And they charged them $50 a head. Those that could afford it paid it. The others were held until they could afford it. They made a quick 30 grand. And these people were further conditioned to submit or act aggressively. These are your choices at this time, right? These are not the only choices you have. They're simply the only choices being presented. Because we can change things. Protest isn't going to do it. I'm telling you this right now. I mean, this is more of a protest right now. I've got more people listening to me, and I don't even know how many of you are out there at this moment than most likely witnessed the WTO protest in D.C. Oh yeah, they got to see the violence on the news, but they didn't know anything. They didn't know what these people were standing for and against. So, I guess my question is, are we going to sit back and wait until the jackbooted thugs are at our door as they take our friends and family away? And of course, it's not going to be all that simple. It's not going to be some door-to-door raid where they just start taking us away. There's going to be a lot more going on. It's all coming to a head here real soon. You know, because if you've been keeping up with my work, then you know that they have weather modification. They have the ability to generate God. They've got flying V's. They've got, you know. It is so outlandish at this point. That protest almost seems silly. And of course, it didn't stop the IMF or the WTO. Or, you know, it's just people trying to get themselves heard. It's ceremonial pissing, as it were. It really doesn't do anything. It's not going to change anything. But it's what you've been presented as a solution. So my goal has been to show you all how holographic the universe really is and how your mental state actually manifests and will bring about occurrences in your life. Now, I have a friend that really, really likes to take on the court systems. That's just his thing. He just loves to go in there and act smart and try and back them into a corner. Well, this guy gets pulled over all the damn time. I mean, he's always in court, right? And he's not doing things purposefully to get to go to court, but he loves to go to court. And therefore, he attracts trouble. And he acts like, oh, God, they're always messing with me. I know, you like this. You like going to court. They're not always messing with you. You are manifesting this. And this is the true power of the Illuminati. Their ability to generate mind pattern programming into us so that we manifest our reality. I mean, why was it that Alex Jones was selected out of that crowd of protesters? Was it that they knew he was the leader of these anarchists? Or is it simply that Alex projects this out into his field and brings it into his holographic reality? So that's really our solution. It has to do with mind pattern programming, like I was talking about last week. That we have this ability to generate heaven. But only if you're willing to believe in heaven. So what I've been witnessing is that many of the shy people, like myself, have been asked to come forward by the universe. David Icke is in this category as well. Just a poor shy kid that had some outside thoughts and was brought into the limelight. Terry Melton, he's the same shy guy being brought out into the light. And I see this over and over again, as these shy people, these ones that wouldn't normally stand up in front of a group of people and speak, are being asked to do so, but not by anything other than their higher source, by their oversoul. Events have led them to this. I certainly never thought I would be standing here doing a radio show or being on television, and yeah, it frightens me every time I get in front of that camera. But I do it. Why? Because I have one life to give, and I want to make a difference. I see as people are just, you know, accepting everything, and they are willing to feel satisfied with their hard day's labor and come home and watch the news or a football game or their latest favorite sitcom. And they feel satisfied. Oh, yeah, I went out and I suffered for the world today. Yeah. Made the world a better place. I called a bunch of people because I'm a telemarketer. I served a bunch of people food or whatever service industry that you have here in America, because we no longer produce things here. And you feel satisfied. You can come home and sit down and lay down on the couch and all is well in the world. Many of us don't get that luxury. I don't get to escape this reality. I don't get to go and think that everything's hunky-dory and that tomorrow will be fine. Because what you got with me is someone who's been looking at this picture for 15 years now. Really all my life, but 15 years I have been fully aware, or nearly so. And so what you get with me is the thoughts and the feelings of someone who's lived within this reality for a long time. Because many people are only now waking up. Hell, most of the patriots that I know of were only waking up around 9/11, 2001. So I am merely transmitting to you the thoughts of one who has lived under the gun for quite some time, so that you can catch up and see also that there are others out here thinking these thoughts. I've thought long and hard about what we can do. What is the solution? How do we get out of this mess? And of course, learning is step one. So this is why I present all these topics to you, but I don't feel the need to spoon-feed people all the data, all the information. I want you to go look it up for yourself, because I can't convince any one of you. Only you can, and only through looking into the picture. And as I've spoken before, those that don't want to look outside of their belief systems are under mind control. Now, I have been presented with an alternative reality. I have experienced such things as rainbow, which shows me that humans can collect together and live in harmony and peace. I've experienced the Grateful Dead shows and other tour groups as such as this, and I've witnessed as humans all got along, moved out of their belief systems by the event. It's the same in a protest. I really don't see much difference between a protest and a festival, really, as far as the crowd is concerned. Because everyone is brought out of their belief structure and brought together into one cohesive group. And this is who humans really are. And this is the perspective that's not being presented to you. And until you go and experience a rainbow gathering, you won't know what I'm talking about. You've got to see it. Just like synchronicity. I could tell you all day long about synchronicity, but until you go out and actually experience it, it's not going to become part of your belief. It's not going to be real. Just story. So as I walk these streets, and I have lived in my van for a number of years, and I hang out in many different cities all over, and at nighttime, the streets are mine. I can wander all I wish. I can walk around naked, I believe, because I never see another human. It's pretty interesting. Whereas at Rainbow, it doesn't matter what time of the day or night it is, you can walk out of your tent and wander into a group of humans and interact and have love and feel complete with this unity of humanity. You're never bored, and you never have this sense of impending... Well, I don't know what it is that drives people into progress, you know? What is it that we are running on this treadmill for? I suppose money. And since there's no money at Rainbow, you don't have this driving force. Now, people like H.G. Wells want to say that without this driving force, humanity will just disintegrate, degenerate into mindless beings. And I just don't see that either. But you're never going to be presented with this alternative. It's never going to be shown to you in the mainstream media. And most of you have never even heard of Rainbow Gatherings. So, you'll never see this side of human nature, and you will always believe these lies, that humans are a virus on this planet that do nothing but destroy. Of course, you look around yourself and all your own group, and you see this isn't true, but the mainstream media is presenting it over and over again in their cop shows and the news and just all the horrific things that they show us over and over again. And you know, what examples do you have of the beauty of humanity? And I don't care what color or creed you are. It's all human. We all have a purpose. We all are here now. But yet we're all segregated, not just by race, but by age. You don't see the young kids hanging out with the older generation. They're all segregated through school into age groups, and we are kept this way. And then we're segregated by class, and we are segregated by race. And many times it's projected into us so that we support the segregation ourselves. We keep this going. Because we really are the ones manufacturing the prison. The Illuminati, they are small. This group that rules us, they are not large at all. But they instill mind pattern programming into us that has us continually recreate the prison day in and day out. It's all in our minds. It really is. So escape comes from the mind. And this is why time and again I suggest that you take a long journey. Because the world that's being presented to you is illusion. And on a long journey, you will see this illusion, and you will see the reality that life is miraculous, that humans are good, caring, loving, generous beings. Yeah, they're all frightened right now. Everyone is frightened, even those that don't know why. Never before have we ever had to stand against such a foe. But eventually you step out of this fright. Eventually the fear goes away, somewhat. doesn't matter after a while. Well, they're coming either way, so I might as well stand forth. Can you do that? Can you stand in front of your peers and possibly be ridiculed, possibly be threatened? Because people will fight to keep their belief systems. People will get angry. I've seen this time and again. I'm simply hell on authority figures. They don't know what to do with me. But I really don't care. I just don't. I have liberated my mind from all of the standard operating procedures. And yeah, at times I get frightened. I was just reading my journal from right before the television show. And wow, what a state of mind I was in at that point. I really didn't know where or what I was going to do. I didn't know what was going to happen to me. And I was frightened. Frightened by myself, you know. Frightened that I wouldn't eat. Frightened that I wouldn't have a place to lay down my head. And as I read along and I find myself in the starting to sign up for the TV show, my thoughts are very interesting, and I'm praying in these writings that I would make it as Freeman. That my TV show would bring me to a whole new standard of living, and that I would wake up the world. And I wrote this. If I had a dream, what would it be? I see around me turmoil and destruction. I see a possibility for unity for some. Some that have seen beyond the veil. Some that are not afraid to fail. Finding the way is the goal, not the completion of a manifest role. If I had a dream, I'd dream a new dream. I might have a place in this reality. I am the I am. If that is an identity. I love and create, knowing I'll be destroyed. What drives me? I don't know. My will to live. My will to life. I love and I can't help it. This is my might. I don't know any better. I don't seem to know a thing about existing on earth in this calamity. There must be good, and this is my dream. I search through the ether, look for the stream of mass consciousness that works like a team. A group of individuals to parent a scheme to release the minds of humanity to dream a new dream. Can we do it? Are you willing? Are you willing to give up all these preconceived notions? Are you willing to give up your hopes and dreams for the benefit of all? Are you willing to say this is all wrong and I'm going to do it a different way? That's the choice we have. That's the place we're at. We've watched it time through time throughout history. Same story in Nazi Germany. Same story in Communist Russia. Same story over and over again. As we watch these same manipulators using the same tactics. And the people always reacting in the same fashion. Being guided forth by those that don't care about them. We live in a world now where we have the ability to communicate with so many others. And if we were to spread our knowledge and our desires for a new dream, it has the potential to manifest. But if we just keep running down this treadmill, if we keep getting yanked off towards the edge of that cliff, pretty soon there will be no turning back. That time is close. And I really don't think anyone's going to do it. I'll be honest with you about that. I really don't think people are going to stop. Because they have their dreams. They have their goals. And they're not willing to give these up just to simply save the world. How far are you willing to go? And of course, violence is never the answer. It's just not going to solve anything. And all that will do will bring about more chaos and destruction. Then who's going to rebuild but Halliburton? No, folks, it's all in our heads. So check your thoughts. Check what you're doing. And as I was telling you about our belief structure there with the Bride of Christ, I really liked that because it was so peaceful and it felt so important. And I really believe it works. And that is that we would sit, and as we planted plants in the garden, we knew that this was expanding out to multiple gardens all over the world. So it is with our thoughts. That you don't need to go to WTO protests in Washington, D.C. Your thoughts on the subject are enough. Our intention is everything. So what do you intend? Would you like us to be free? Would you like to stop running on that treadmill into scarcity? Would you like to have some food that has flavor? Are you really happy eating at McDonald's? Do you really want to fight a war? Would you like to be free? You have to think free. That's the path out. No longer will you hide what you believe to be right. At the Kerrville Folk Festival, they have a phrase that says, "It could always be like this." And that is just the truth of the matter. If you release yourself from all these control mechanisms, if we all do it in unity, of course, you don't know what I mean when I say it can always be like this, do you? You haven't yet to experience this reality, and I'm sorry for you for that. I want you to. I want you to see this beautiful human nature. I want you to get out and enjoy humanity. If anything, you know, organize a street party where your neighbors all come together and eat together, because this is the most basic and human of functions, eating. And this is where the scarcity keeps us in turmoil. This is where the fear comes, when you think you're not going to be able to eat. So feed one another, gather together. Just start right there in small little pockets of your own. Gather together. Focus your intentions. And we can change this without violence. Violence isn't going to change a thing. So until next week, love one another. Start to believe in humanity, please. These representations that we have put before us, if you start to realize they're all a bunch of Satanist evil bastards, they are not you, these leaders. They do not have your benefit in mind. Revolution comes from within. Loving y'all, and hope to see you out there. Because pretty soon, I think I'm going to be coming your way. It looks like they're coming for us. Alex, good job. Terry, good job. That poor kid at UCF, hey, good job, my friend. You know, anything to wake you all up. Even if you got to get tased. Poor guy. All right. See you guys next week.